Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And wherever you are, go ahead and share tonight's episode with someone, with a friend. And if you're driving in your car, let someone know where they can hear TMG.
It's time to get on board. TMG is taking off.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody! Welcome to a new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Real quick, guys, don't forget to visit, share, like, and subscribe our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey, girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, today's episode is right on time. Yeah, I mean, today's episode is right on time. And when you hear the episode topic, what we're going to talk about today, you're going to swear up and down, I waited for this moment. But I promise you, I did not. But I'm glad that you're here listening and watching the show. And whether this is your first time tuning in, your very first time hearing my voice, let me take this time to tell you thank you and let you know I appreciate you for being here. And you said, well, Travis, man, I've been listening to your show ever since it's been streaming. Well, let me tell you right now, thank you so very much. I appreciate you. And whether you are listening in Portugal or in Spain, or maybe you're listening in the UK, or maybe you're listening in Canada or South Africa or South America, wherever you are right now tuning into the show, let me take this moment to tell you thank you. I'm so glad that you're here. Guys, today's episode is one of those that you're going to be excited and happy that you listened in. So let me join in and kind of get started with some things, guys, as we join in here. Now, everybody knows that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on a show, drop us an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And he said, well, Travis, listen, I know someone that has an amazing story. They would be great to come on your show. They would be a great guest, but I don't want to come on a show. I'm a little camera shy. Drop us an email anyhow at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And you can even remain anonymous if you like. So there you go. Guys, I'm so glad you're here. I want to go ahead and play some information from our sponsors. Once I play that information, guys, we're going to come right back and we're going to dive right into the show. Don't go anywhere. I'm glad you're here, guys. We just getting started.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link, bit.ly tellme21 and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way.
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The information, guys, is right there. It's right below in the chat. And if you, guys, if you did not catch today's episode topic, guys, today's episode title, guys, is Snap Judgment. Yes, Snap Judgment. And I know you're probably wondering where I'm going to go with this, and we could go kind of go anywhere. I'm going to throw some names out at you guys first. And I want to throw some names out at you, and I'm going to ask you guys some questions, and I want you to tell me truthfully in the chat what you think of, or just think outside out loud to yourself what you think of when you hear this, okay? What comes to mind when you hear the name Tyrone? How about the name Abigail? Do certain emotions begin stirring when you hear a person is affiliated with a particular political party? Unconscious bias involves assumptions about groups of people outside of our awareness that affect our attitudes and behaviors toward them. It may even include forms of discrimination and stereotyping based on race, gender, sexuality, ethnicity, ability, age, and so on. But it's not limited to just that. So don't think that. So today we're going to be talking about unconscious bias. So it's not just those things there. Today we will discuss how this unsuspecting way of thinking impacts our decisions and the part it plays in today's society, ways to possibly identify it and move forward. Guys, I want you to do me a favor. Give a huge TMG welcome for our very special guest today, guys, Tony Chapman. Tony, what's up, man? How you doing?
What's up, Travis? What's up? Hey, so before we get started. Before we get started, I have to say something that I've waited my entire life to say, okay?
Say it, Tony!
Go Lions! Go Lions!
Oh, my gosh!
Just got to throw that
in there. Oh, see, you know what? Oh, I can't hear you, Tony. You're breaking up, man. So much static.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, I had to live through Billy Sims, Barry Sanders, Megatron. I deserve this moment. I deserve it.
We'll give this one to you because the Lions, honestly, they are balling out this year. I got to give it to you. They were balling out. I thought they were going to lose that last game against the Texans, and the Texans tried. The Texans did their very best to make sure the Lions won. I'll just say that.
Oh, ye of little faith.
I love it. And you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, Tony, because it fits into what we're talking about today. You know, we're talking about snap judgments, and we're talking about unconscious bias, right? I gave a brief overview of what unconscious bias is. Tony, do me a quick favor, man. I know a little bit about you. A lot of people that's listening may not be aware. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and when you do that, Tony, let us know about what unconscious bias is. I kind of grazed the surface of it, and I don't want people to think it's only just the things that they see, kind of a conscious thing, because it's really not, but it will manifest consciously. So kind of let us know who you are, what you do, and what an unconscious bias, a kind of a working definition of what it is, man.
Okay, so Tony Chapman, speaker, author, corporate relationship expert. So I have been speaking professionally for about 18 years.
Wow.
I am also hired by organizations to come in and work with them in any area that involves culture or how people within the workplace or even outside of the workplace relate to one another. So how do we connect? How do we influence?
Right.
How do we bond? How do we minimize issues? All of those. And it's so unconscious bias falls into that very strongly.
Yeah.
And I want to just say, for me, I got into unconscious bias because my background is actually chemical engineering. And so as I was moving forward in the workplace and, you know, I just saw a lot of stuff. I was reading certain books and this topic just kept popping up, unconscious bias. Malcolm Gladwell's Blink, Daniel Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow,
right,
all these other books. And so on my own, I began to study it.
Mm.
And of course, organizations wanted me to come in and talk about diversity, equity, inclusion,
right,
all these things.
Right.
Wasn't really something that was on my radar. But at some point I said, I'm willing to do it if I can do it from this perspective, because not only from a scientific standpoint, but as a Black man, I know this is the issue we need to attack first.
Okay.
So when you said, what is unconscious bias? Let's break down each word, okay? Unconscious. So Daniel Kahneman, who wrote the book Thinking Fast and Slow, said that the brain should be looked at as two different thinking systems. You have the conscious brain, which is what we use to make rational decisions, right?
Right.
But there's some issues with it. Neurologically, it's slow. It has to be turned on. We've all had moments where we've been distracted and we lose our train of thought. All of
Absolutely.
Those things are part of it.
Absolutely.
Okay? And it can only have about 40 things roughly going on at one time, which seems like a lot of things unless you've lived in a place like New York City where I have. Then you realize you can have millions of stimuli at any given moment.
Any moment.
Bro, Times Square is just information overload. There's just no way around it, right? And that was walking distance from my house at the time. So there's that part. But then there's this unconscious system. He calls it system one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the things about it is neurologically, it's actually faster than the conscious brain.
Yes, it is.
And it's always on, always running in the background. And so is, although we think we make a lot of decisions rationally, we don't. It turns out 90% of the decisions we make on a daily basis originate out of our subconscious.
Wow.
That's actually a little bit scary. Okay.
But yeah, well, 90%. It is considering I've heard that on average, we make about the adult human average makes about 35,000 decisions a day. And just to think about most of those, 90% of that is unconsciously created.
Yeah, but think about it this way, okay? You drive, correct?
Right.
You have a car. Yeah, and I have to correct. Ask that because I lived in New York, okay? Not everyone drives in New York. Okay,
exactly.
But you've had times probably where you're really tired, really sleepy. Maybe you've had a few drinks. I don't know. But you got home on autopilot. You just knew
yes.
where to turn, knew where to go. That's what I mean. Like you were on autopilot and yet you made the decisions you always make. And I think
correct.
That's part of it, is that you made decisions that you've made in the past for the most part. So that's where it runs in. And in fact, 95% of the decision, 95% of the buying decisions we make come from our subconscious. Mm. But the problem is,
wow.
although it originates in our subconscious, our conscious brain then goes and confirms what our subconscious brain thought. And so we think we're making a conscious decision, but the decision was already made. So that's the conscious, unconscious part. Okay. I know that was deep. So I don't know if you want to jump in, but That's just half of it, okay? So now we got to talk bias.
Yes.
When people think bias, they think some form of prejudice, right? Discrimination,
right. Yeah,
sexism, racism, right. Homophobia. It is way beyond that, okay?
Wow.
And way more subtle than that. So think of it in terms of an algorithm. We're probably far more familiar with at least the phrase now because of social media, everything
social
else.
Social media, right, but, right.
Right. But most people don't really know what an algorithm is. So it's kind of a set of inputs or a set of instructions that comes out to a defined end. An example is a recipe. Okay, think about a recipe, right? If you're going to make pound cake, you take a pound of butter, a pound of flour, a pound of sugar, and a pound of eggs. That's why it's called pound cake, right? Now, you can change the amounts and still make a cake. You can add ingredients and subtract ingredients. It's still a cake. But for it to be pound cake, that's the recipe. That's really it.
That's right.
We have the same thing with people, with things, with events. And what happens is we look for situations to fit within our predetermined recipes. And when they don't, we either try to force them in or we try to discount them. And so
you realize,
that's bias. In and of itself, that's not bad. But the fact that we don't know we're doing it makes it unconscious. And that's where it becomes challenging.
Yeah. And that's a great example. A recipe is a predetermined steps or a predetermined algorithm or a predetermined steps of what you do to get an outcome, to get the desired outcome. And if you follow those steps, you will get the outcome you're supposed to get. And our brains will follow a recipe. It will follow that recipe, back to what you're saying about being muscle memory. Our brains will follow that recipe if we do it enough. If we do it enough, unconsciously, now it's there. And our brains will follow that recipe to get the results that it has always gotten. And one thing I learned, Tony, was this. Our minds are designed to get this exact same results. It's looking for that pattern to give it the exact same results. When we came on to the show, I said, man, some things have been flipped. What I'm used to looking at. I said, I'm used to looking at things on the left-hand side. It's on the right-hand side because my brain is looking for the same thing every time. And unconsciously, Tony, we are making selections to fit a recipe when it has to do with people, culture, things. But we're making a recipe, and we want people to fit into this recipe that we have, and they do not. And when they do not, that's when that issue comes up. That's when it starts manifesting itself, you know, openly. And that's when there's frustrations come on our part because you're not fitting my recipe.
Yeah, so let's go back because that's a great way to put it. Let's go back to the beginning of the show. You read some names and said, what do you picture when you say names, right?
Yeah, let me bring those names again. The first name when you hear the name Tyrone.
Okay, so let's take Tyrone, right? So let's reverse it. When you think CEO, do you think the name Tyrone?
Exactly.
If you don't, then Tyrone does not fit into your recipe. And you may not even be aware that that's happening, but here's what we do know. We know that on a resume, a white-sounding name receives 50% more calls for interviews than a black-sounding name, right? We know that statistically. So now we're going into something real because, okay, if I'm interviewing and I see a name that doesn't fit the recipe, then subconsciously my brain's already saying, nope. Way before I even dig into it, oh, no, that can't be. That doesn't fit into what you know.
Absolutely. There is actually a CEO named Tyrone. Tyrone E. Muse is the CEO and president of Visions Federal Credit Union. However, we would not know that unless we search it. But the name does not fit into CEO. If you hear, when you hear that name, what about this one? How about we say the word Audrey or Muhammad? Do you think, do you think safety, do you think security, do you think honesty when you hear the word Muhammad?
Let's even take it a step farther, because everything you're saying is absolutely right, and they fit within this idea of our first impressions, right? We see someone and within 7 seconds, we make an impression.
But seven even more seconds, so, man.
Yeah, but even more so, when you say the name Audrey, what do you picture, right? What does she look like? Most of us have had situations where we've only met someone on the phone, right? We talk to them over and over and over again. But then, have you ever had a situation where you meet that person and they look different than you thought?
Wait. You don't look like you sound.
Right. But here's the thing. Right. But why did we have an idea of what they would look like when we did not have enough data for that? And so what happens is what the brain wants to do is fill in the story. And so when we don't have enough information, it just fills in the story with the information it already has. Here's what we know about Audrey's. Here's what we've seen, whether it's an Audrey Hepburn or an Audrey this. Yep. I know I just dated myself, whatever. But, you know, whatever we picture, that's how we start to fill it in. And they were like, oh, you don't look like what I thought. We may not say that out loud, but we may think.
But here, you didn't we're thinking it.
It's in here. And so we make decisions based on that. And it goes way beyond people. It goes into situations. It goes into how we look at data. Everything. It's literally everything.
And I like what you just said. You said it goes into how we look at data. It goes into how, and some of the data that we see every day, because when you say the word data, people start thinking you think you're talking numbers. They start thinking you're talking spreadsheets. No. Let me help you out with a practical data that you look at every day. Your bank statement. That's data. It goes into how you look at your bank statement, how you look at your finances, how you look at your money. And based on all those things that we've received in our lives, then we start looking at our data differently. Oh, I'll never get ahead. Oh, this is all I can do. I don't see a solution for me. I don't see a way. Maybe if I live on this side of town, and we begin to confine ourselves, Tony, based on the data that we have received. You said we have, based on what we already have to go on. So based on what we already have to go on, a lot of times, Tony, we disqualify ourselves or talk ourselves out of because of present data that we have.
Yeah. So, and great example. And so, I mean, I'm kind of like this serial entrepreneur business owner. So one of the things I'm also doing is I'm executive producing movies, right? So we dubbed two short films and won a bunch of awards. And so thank you. But we're working on another film. And so I met with my business partner. He's the director and this writer. And we're just getting used to work with the writer. And so we started having a conversation about how much do we need to raise to get this film done, right? And she said,
correct.
X. I'm not going to tell you what X was, but she said X. It's a short film, everything else. And I said, that's really not a lot of money. But to her, it was like, oh my goodness, how would we ever raise it? It's because we were looking at the same data from a different set of context. And so now I look at it because I've been around people who make money like that and, you know, they throw money around. And I'm like, yeah, it's a lot. It seems like a lot of money. I know people who give that away just so they don't have to pay more taxes. I literally do.
Correct.
And she was just like, but that's a lot of money. And I'm like, to you.
To your perspective, because of the data you have to go on, that is a great deal. And that brings to a point, Tony, based on the information we've already accepted, received into ourselves, it tells me how far we're willing to go, how far we're willing to try. A lot of times we're not even willing to try, Tony, because of the data that we have in us that's going on already. Those inner conversations that we have with ourselves about these bias that things that we have, we won't force certain relationships. And as a result, we keep ourselves where we are. I don't know why I'm always in this spot, because maybe, Maybe it's because we're using outdated data about a person, about a thing, or even about ourselves. And a lot of times the bias can be about how you feel and you think internally about yourself, and it's preventing you from going further. Tony, a lot of times, I find most times the most limiting thing that we have as individuals, as humans, isn't what someone else believes about us. It's what we think about ourselves. It's those choices. It's those biases about ourselves. I'm just not good enough. I need to have this in order to make this. I need to do this in order to do this. Here I am having a show with someone who is an executive producer who's doing all these great things. And Tony, years ago, I never would have thought I would be here on a show with someone like you. I had to get to that point. I had to move beyond those things.
Well, years ago, I never would have thought I would be someone like me. Right? I mean, just if we're going to shoot straight.
I know. I'm with you, man.
I had
man.
To go through my own jumps.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah. 20 years ago, I didn't see this. You know, it's been said wherever you are today, somewhere in the past, you made an appointment to be there. Right? So
yeah.
there is this idea. What you're saying is how we view ourselves becomes a fulfilled prophecy, right?
Yeah.
We're dealing with that. And so a lot of that is really what we have to battle. But you know, the thing I would say is I wouldn't just call it data. I would call it perceived data.
Perceived
data. Because the problem
data.
Is it's how we have interpreted the data. So
exactly.
It may be something totally different, but from our perspective, we're getting all these signs that say, I should be here, where that may not be true.
And you know what? And I'm glad you brought that point up, because it's bringing me to this. The way we interpret data has to do with how we're going to interact with the next person we meet. I don't care who you are. The way you interpret data, the way you that perceived information, that perceived data, the way we perceive it, is how we're going to, it determines how we're going to treat that next person. We're talking about unconscious choices or unconscious decisions. And these are things that are happening, and we think we're making a conscious choice, but we're not. It literally takes 7 seconds, guys. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It takes 7 seconds, guys, for us to already make that first impression. How we already see this person. And our brains, guys, get this, our brains, will make a snap judgment within 1/10 of a millisecond. 1/10 of a millisecond, your brain has already made a snap judgment about somebody. Just that quick. Just that quick. When I hear the name Tony, a lot of times I think about the group Tony, Tony, Tony. I think about Tony the Tiger. You know, all these things start coming into your mind. So we're talking about unconscious choices, unconscious decisions. So they may not be so easy for us to see because they're unconscious. What are some ways an individual can identify an unconscious bias that they may have? Because, you know, I didn't realize this was me. Or, you know, that phone call example we gave. Oh, my gosh, you look different than what I thought you were. What are some ways that some of us can identify these unconscious bias?
Well,
or
I mean,
is there any way?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There are definitely ways. I think one of the most quantifiable ways, there's a test called the Implicit Associations Test that's run by Harvard, mm-hmm. right? It's called the IAT. And what you literally do is you will look at, you know, for example, if you do it on race, because you can do it on a lot of different dimensions of diversity. At different times, they'll show you like a white face and a black face and match the white face up with smart, later black, match the black face up with smart and all this stuff. But what's interesting, you get the questions right because, right, you're doing it. What it's measuring is which ones do you do faster? Which ones
correct,
do you do
correct.
More naturally? And that's really what we're trying to figure out. Because if given enough time and knowing the answer, we can get our brain in the right space.
Correct,
about
correct.
Snap judgment, it's measuring the snap judgment. So the Implicit Associations Test is the first thing I would say. If you look up IAT, you can find it. It's free. And you can opt in as a guest, so you're not giving data. So that's the first
right.
one. The second thing, and this takes a lot more self-awareness, is to accept the feedback you receive from other people.
That's tough,
man. A lot of times.
Yeah, you know that's tough. You know that's tough,
Come on now. But a lot of times, people give us the feedback, and they'll say, hey, the way you answered that, the way you did this, something was wrong with this. And the problem is often because, number one, consciously we may not be aware of it, but also we don't want it to become an indictment of our character. Well, I'm not a bad person, right? But if we go back and say, okay, but wait, if this is coming up before going into defending myself, why? What did you see? And that feedback can become invaluable. So that's the second thing. The third thing I would say is, this is even harder.
Wait a minute. Harder than the second one?
Harder than the second one. Because this one, and when I say it, you'll understand why in a moment. Really evaluate your gut feelings. Because a lot of people, and I hear this all the time, you know, go with your gut. Trust your gut.
Go with your gut. Blah, blah, blah. I live with my gut.
Right. But here's the thing. When we say go with your gut, we're talking about this emotion that occurs, right? Felt something.
Correct. I feel
what is that emotion and where did it come from? Our subconscious. We're literally saying go with your bias. And the problem is your bias is not trained for this. It's not even built for this. Our biases are really part of our fight or flight mechanisms.
That's right. Survival exactly. Thing,
right? It's like, oh, I felt, you know, I'm in the Serengeti. I see something that looks like a cat. Do I sit around and go, I wonder if that's a cat? Or do I run because it's probably a lion, right? It's this kind of thing. That's what it's built for. It's not built for all of these other things. And
exactly.
I will tell you, and here's who gets it, because I do work with federal law enforcement, right? They get it because at first they'll argue with me, well, shouldn't we go with our gut, blah, 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 blah. And I'd ask them, I said, let me ask you this. If you're in a dangerous situation, would you trust a civilian to go with their gut in that situation? And they're like, oh, no. No, never, right? I said, of course not. You can go with your gut in areas where your gut has been trained. So if you've had over and over and over repeated situations, so now it is programmed into your gut, then it works. If not, it's a coin toss and it's probably going to work against you. This is why martial artists, fighters, you know, martial artists have katas, right? They have predetermined things. Mm-hmm. Now, boxers in MMA say, oh, you shouldn't have katas. They do the same thing. They just call them combos, right? But you kind of have these things where when this thing happens, I know to do this.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Combo before I have to think, because you're training your gut to respond in those situations. So that's the danger, is a lot of times when we feel things in the moment, the goal is understand it's a feeling, but don't trust that the feeling is accurate. The feeling is a signal, an indicator that something's going on, but just because you feel it doesn't mean it's accurate.
Accurate. You know, that reminds me of, Tony, when my kids were small, when my kids were little, my boys and my girl, we used to enjoy playing video games. We did. We would play video games all the time. We'd come home, they did their homework, and we would play video games, right? And we even had this championship belt, Tony. I mean, it was serious, man. It was serious. And we had this championship belt. So whoever won would get the championship belt. But it reminds me of when we're playing a video game, and so my son would play, and my daughter would play, and that's okay. I gotta face the winner. So my daughter was very good at this game. She would beat everybody. She would kill us, man. And so she would be up there, her fighter would be ready like this. And in my mind, I said, if she goes to kick me, I'm going to jump and do this, and then I'm going to do this. I would already have this combo in my head 5 steps prior to her making her first move. And so I was, okay, if this happens, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then if she does this, I'm going to counter and do this. And I will already have my counter attack when she attacks one way. And what's happening is these thoughts, these things, they put us on the, they put us in a position where we have to counter attack things, or we're on the offense about things. And reason we're on the offense, Tony, is because we have this combo in our head that we're trying to do, and the person is not cooperating with the combo move we're trying to make. We had no idea they was going to go to the right, and we had no idea they was going to go to the right. They went to the right. We thought they was going to go to the left, Tony. And now they can't, because they didn't fit our combo move, now we're upset. Like, I remember one time my daughter, I was thinking she was going to go to the right. She went to the left, and my combo move didn't work. What's happening is the combo that we had in mind is not working. These things, this type of thinking doesn't work, Tony. It only works if the person fits the mold. And what 9 out of 10, they don't fit the mold. Like you were saying, you asked the officers, would you trust a civilian to go in the area? And they said, no. Same thing. It doesn't fit the mold. And we continue to try to make people fit the mold, and it's not working.
I would even take it a step farther, because you're absolutely right. But let me give my video game example now, right? Because my boys and I, we used to play a game called Halo all the time.
Okay, right? I know Halo. Halo.
We played, every time Halo came out, we shut it down, and we would go through the campaign, finish it, you know, probably in a day, and then we would start playing online, right? What happens is, looking at unconscious bias, again, it's the areas in which we're trained for, right? So that's right. What we're good at. But what would mess us up is if we go to play Halo at someone else's house and they have their controller setting different.
Shut up! Oh my God!
I'm like, wait. You don't have this on Southpaw and on Legacy and on, okay, wait, I gotta, because then all of a sudden I'm playing and I'm not thinking, I'm hitting the button and I'm like, that's not what's supposed to happen. It's because you're in a different controller. And I think that's what we have to realize. We may be able to do this in this small area.
Yep.
But we think we can do it with all controllers, and we can't.
Yep. Man, I used to hate that. We'd go to my friend's house or our cousin's house, and their controller would be set up for them. And you just hitting buttons, you're pressing buttons. You're like, wait, what's going on? And you're taking hits, and you don't know why you're taking hits. You're taking losses, and you don't know why you're taking losses. Let me say this, guys, to you. Let me just give this PSA, this public service announcement. Maybe some of the losses you're taking, maybe some of the hits that you're taking are unnecessary, because maybe what you're doing isn't working. Maybe the controller has been set up for someone else. Maybe it's been set up for someone who's left-handed and you're right-handed. In other words, everything you're trying to do with these unconscious bias, Tony, it's not working, and it's causing us to take hits in our finances, hits in our relationships, hits in our personal life, in our professional life, and we're taking hits as a society, Tony, because we're trying to use what has been set up for something else. And instead of learning the controller, or better yet, instead of learning the controller, we try to force our internal rules on something else, and it's not applying. It's not working, and we're taking hits. We're taking losses, and we find ourselves, Tony, having to apologize. Oh, I didn't mean that. I'm so sorry. You took that out of context. That I didn't mean it that way, and we find ourselves in these awkward social situations and awkward social standings because we're taking hits, and we don't really have to, but we're using a controller that was never meant for us to use that way.
And all that sounds good while the two of us are sitting on a podcast, but that mess is much harder than it really is. Okay, let's Let's talk about it in real life, because here's the thing: it's subconscious. So now
the problem is that people aren't
even aware that they're doing it. They're just coming up with results. So here, look, most people don't go, oh my goodness, I've got to reprogram the controller so it fits me. They go, this button's broken. Right? You ever had somebody do that?
Right?
You're killing them in a game, and all of a sudden, well, something's wrong with my controller. No, you's wrong with your controller, okay? So but that's reality. We're talking about this, but in a practical, everyday situation, like because I think about this type of stuff all the time, I am acutely aware that I do this. And so because of that, I question everything. I question how I looked at this person. I questioned what I expected from this person. I question it. We go through life not questioning what we're deciding, why we did what we did, how we responded. We don't go through life questioning. We go through life justifying. And if we can switch and stop justifying and start questioning and go, why did I think that? Why did I feel that? They didn't respond that way. No, it's not because they're different. It's because I was wrong. I thought differently. Let's download that into now this hard drive of data we have in our subconscious so I can remember not to do that next time, right? If we start doing that, then we can look at ourselves and say, okay, you know what? Let's rethink this. Maybe, if I'm stuck in this place and I can't figure all this stuff out, and what can I do to change it? Maybe let me start by being around some different people who represent where I'm trying to go. Because then I will take in new data from them. That's what's been amazing for me. Every time I've leveled up my business, it's almost always started with me either not trying to or trying to be around different people. And here's what I've learned, right? When I was around the same old group and I'm like, I want to try this, they're like, well, why would you do that?
Why?
But when I get around the other group, I say, I'm thinking about doing this, they would say, why haven't you already done it?
Already.
See, totally different.
Or they ask you, well, how can I help you?
Or how can I help you? Or what do you need? Or have you thought about this?
What do you need?
But it's different, but what happens is being around those mindsets helps us then to start reprogramming how we think.
That's it.
And so that's huge. That's also how it works in everything else, right? It also, when you say, okay, how do we deal with our biases with other people? You know, maybe I have bias with people or the LGBTQIA+ community, right? Well, get some gay friends, build some relationships, because then being around them will make you think differently and program you differently. It does work.
But you know what hinders us is the very same thing that would need to help us. That's that very same unconscious bias that we have. And again, it's unconscious. We are unconsciously doing this. It's like you pull up to a stop sign or a stoplight in a certain side of town and you lock your doors. There's nobody around you and you lock your doors. You know, you walk on the other side of the street. When you see certain groups of people, when you see more than one person of a certain group walking towards you, you walk on the other side of the street. All these things, and instead of running from these things, I wouldn't say running from them because we're not really running from them because it's still in our minds. Instead of feeding it more, get around those things that you say, get around those things, and then ask yourself, why did I feel this way about them? What did that trigger inside of me? And why was that a trigger for me? Why do I think that about someone who's LGBTQ? Or why do I think about a different race or a different culture or a different ethnicity? Why do I think that about somebody who's a different social standing or different financial standing? Why is that a trigger for me in my mind? It's not them. That's just who they are. That's just what they do. But why is that a trigger for me to think that about them. I got to ask you this, man, because and I know I got to ask you this. We talk about what unconscious bias is. We talk about how it can happen and show itself in people's lives. We talked about the limiting way it can do when it goes unchecked, because it can relationships, finances, careers, you name it. We talked about the limiting factors of it. If you ask most, they believe they have no bias. Oh, I'm good, man. I have no bias against nobody. Yeah, I know, right? You know, I'm good, man. I love everybody. I'm good. Ask the average Joe off the street now, say, man, I have no bias at all. And in your mind, in my mind, I'm going like, right. If I ask you, do you prefer crunchy peanut butter or smooth peanut butter? If you have both of those in front of you, you will automatically choose the one that you prefer, because your unconscious mind is already going to choose what it's used to and what it's want. So you do have a bias. Don't tell me you don't. But when confronted with them, most people are willing to change. When you talk to them about it, it's, oh yeah, man, I'm sorry. I want to wear it. They'll ask those questions. They'll question themselves. And most people are willing to change once confronted with it. The average person will. Of course, there's always going to be some who won't. What does making the journey to move past these biases kind of look like? Because, again, like we said, talking here with us, it's easy to bring these points out, point one, two, three, and four, five. But what is a journey? It's not something you do overnight and it's happened. Bam, I'm done. Woo, I got it. What does that journey kind of look like for a person who's on this journey to do that? What does that journey kind of look like? Because there are people listening, watching right now to say, you know what? I wonder if I have that, or I said this at work in my head, or I thought about this person who was in a car, or that person who cut me off. I said something. What does that journey look like?
So first, I'm going to go back. I actually think for most people, when they're confronted, they don't change. They get defensive. I really do. And I think that happens. Justification and a misunderstanding of bias. Oh, you're saying I'm racist. Oh, you're saying I'm bigoted. Oh, you're saying I'm sexist. Oh, right. We're not, because they take bias. Number one, there's a lot of misunderstandings about bias, but then they take it and they're like, so here's what you're saying now about me. And it's like, no, I'm actually not. Okay. Here's what I'm saying about how all these things programmed you, which we can get into at some point if you want to. So, right? So now, because they don't understand that, they get defensive. So how does the journey start?
Yeah.
The journey starts, normally something happens that like makes you more aware, okay? I guess we'll see how it plays out, okay? I believe that the more aware we are, the more chance we have of starting to understand it. Because then we go, okay, wait. So now I realize I have a bias against this type of person. Or here's what will get us really messed up. I have a bias towards some type of person.
Right, right.
And that person ends up getting a chance to manipulate us.
Right, right.
Right? We let them in too early. We give them too much trust before they've earned
right.
it. We've all this stuff, and now we get taken. Well, how did that keep happening? Well, because you thought because they looked like this or sounded like this, you could trust them, and that's not enough. So being aware is critical, because when you're aware, then in the moment you can go, okay, I feel something. Instead of reacting, let me stop for a moment.
Yep.
Let me process. Let me pause and breathe and all this other stuff. And so now I can say, okay, instead of asking, how should I respond? Why do I feel this feeling?
Yep, exactly.
That is so important. Oh, this person reminds me of X. Oh, this happened. It's like if as a kid, a person gets bitten by a dog, that impacts them. So now when they see other dogs,
triggered.
There's a feeling.
Triggered.
And even if they start to, like dogs, own a dog, let them see a dog that reminds them of the one that bit them. And they're like, well, why did I respond this way? Oh, this one reminded me of the one that bit me. Or, oh, I smelled the same smell correct. I smelled right before I got bit. Right. We can make that kind of assessment so that we can be more logical. I think that is really important. So there's that awareness. That's the beginning of the journey. I think the next step, and I'm really going to say not I think, the next step is to begin trying to reprogram our biases. And that happens through exposure. That does not happen just through reading books or being on an island and doing your own work.
I like that.
It happens by getting out in the real world and being around the people that at times have maybe made you uncomfortable.
Exactly.
But there's one key goal to it. You actually have to want to change. Because we have seen it. I guarantee you've seen this, where someone is around a person who is, you know, some other people, and they either choose to only see the bad, or they go, oh, they're different than all the others, even though they don't know any
others.
They must be a good Mexican, a good Black person, a good whatever, right? They do that.
And so you're a good
thing
one.
You're a good one. So there's a thing called chronic egalitarian goals. And basically, that's a fancy way of saying you want people to have an equal shot. Like, you legitimately. Because, see, some people say, I want things to be fair and equal, but they don't.
Mm.
A lot of people really don't. If they have an advantage, they are afraid of losing their advantage.
The advantage.
Let me tell you, that is the realest thing. Okay? And so you have to literally say to me, I want things to be right. I want things to be equal. I want things that people have a fair shot. And then being exposed to other people can have an impact. Okay? So you have awareness. Absolutely. You have exposure. Then I believe we need accountability.
Correct.
Okay? I believe whether it's accountability partners, a friend, I don't think it's just everybody, right? We can go on social media and say, hey, here's what I'm doing today. Here's what happened. That'd be a mess, right? But think about if you've ever tried to go on a diet or anything. The minute you say, I'm going to write down everything I eat, it changes what you eat. You're like, hey, I got to write down these two Krispy Kremes I'm about to eat. I think I'm going to pass, right? I mean, because now there's a...
Because now you got to look back at what you wrote and go, whoa, I had that.
Right. Now I got to go explain to somebody why I said this weekend I was going to go to a different area and spend time or volunteer or do all this other stuff, and I didn't. And now I got to go and have an accountability partner that to explain it to you. We need that accountability. So I think that is kind of the framework for how we do our journey, awareness, exposure, accountability. There are other things we can do, but if we do those things, we will be so much farther along the journey. It's just amazing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. It does take that awareness, exposure, and accountability. Absolutely. Tony, I'll mention this. So we talked about this journey. We talked about how to get there and all, but we're human. And I'm not using this as an excuse. We're human. Sometimes muscle memory, we fall back into those things. What can a person do to help prevent themselves from falling back into these unwholesome ways of thinking? Accountability, exposure, and those. What can we do to try to not fall back into these things?
It depends on what it is, right? The quick answer is have some type of reminders around you.
Okay.
So let's say the issue is how you think about yourself.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay, let's talk, if we're dealing with that perspective.
Okay.
Okay. Then a great thing to do is have a few quotes around your house in different places that are triggers that remind you how to positively think about yourself. Like, I'll have one in my, and we just got to our other place, so I got to put them up. But, you know, the universe is conspiring for me to be successful.
Oh, I love that.
When I think that.
I like that.
Right? When I think that, then I don't think, oh, bad stuff happens to me or all this stuff. Even when something challenging happens, somehow the universe is conspiring for me to be successful. And if you want to put that as God or whatever, I'm using universe
correct.
To be far more, you know, universal. But, you know, however you want to
personalize
it, that kind of thing can be really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're dealing with people, especially if you know that you're going to go into an environment in which you're likely to be triggered, your biases are going to be triggered, then you can have podcasts that you listen to, things that you listen to on the way there, things that will help you. Here's what's fascinating. I talked about the IAT earlier, the implicit associations test. So I'm kind of a data nerd in some of this stuff. I dig really deep. One of the things, because some people will say, well, the problem with the IAT is it's not consistent. And I would argue, no, that's a problem with our understanding of biases. They lie dormant sometimes, and sometimes they're triggered. And so what's interesting is when people take the IAT, for example, about race, they will have less of a preference for white people if they listen to a Martin Luther King Jr. speech right before taking it. It's right, because now there was, even though it's artificial, there's kind of an auditory exposure that they become comfortable with it. And so now in the moment, they're less biased.
Correct.
I think that is a really good key for all of us to say, we can have things like that, before I go in and I'm going to run into people of a Latino, Latina background, right? Then what I can do is maybe I have a list of 15 important people in history or even currently that are Latino, Latina. So I read that list before I go in it, and it changes how I walk in, because now I'm less likely to be biased against
them. Yep.
That's actually a very real, effective, and practical thing we can do.
Yep. Let me help you out on that, Tony. I am a firm, if anybody's watching this show or listening to this show, I am a firm believer of positive confession. And the reason that is, Tony, is because it does exactly what you said. It reaffirms the positive things that we say and that we believe about ourselves. We can't do anything about every situation that occurs in our lives, but you can do something about the way you perceive every situation that occurs in your life. You can do something about what you see, how you see yourself. So when you said you had those confessions up and a great idea, a practical thing, if you're going into a very diverse meeting, or you're going to a diverse meeting to meet with some individuals or whoever, getting that pre-information, that precognitive information, because it's cognitive that you're getting, you're doing it on purpose. So you're getting that precognitive information to help reprogram some information unconsciously. It will absolutely help you go into that meeting, that diverse meeting, with a diverse, different, a diverse way of thinking. And I promise you, you won't have this affiliation to associate yourself with either particular group or ethnicity, because now your mind is so out there, it's ready to relate to everyone and everybody. I'm glad you brought that up, because I am a firm believer of positive confession, Tony, for that very reason. Let me ask you this question, man. And I know we got to get out. I could talk to you all day. What is some parting advice that you like to provide in hopes to encourage someone listening to rethink how they think about some things?
Do not trust your gut.
Man, what you say?
Period. Just right off the bat, unless it's in an area that you have used over and over again positively. And in that situation, make sure, because sometimes we assume we did it right and we don't have actually quantifiable data. So the first thing I say, do not trust your gut. Here's what you'll learn. When you're under stress, when you're dealing with biases, when you're going through change, your emotions are a horrible barometer of reality.
Absolutely.
So don't just trust your gut. I think that is the first one. Second thing, because we didn't really get into this, assess how you grew up.
Ooh.
Your parents and what are their biases. Your education and what are the biases that came from that. Your community and the biases that came from that.
Correct.
Your religion and the biases that came from that. Your friend group, what you watched on TV, like really take an inventory and say, if not you, not even you, if anyone else grew up in this situation, how would they likely think? Mm, mm, and then assume you have some of those you know, characteristics within you. I think that is really big. So not trusting your gut, taking kind of an inventory or an assessment of how you grew up and even what you intake now. What do you take in from terms of news, social media, your friend group?
Correct.
What do they believe? What do they think? We surround ourselves with situations that make us comfortable. So it tells us something. I'd say that. The third thing I would say, and this is big, give yourself and other people grace as we all go along this journey. You mentioned, so what do we do when we fall back? Because it might happen. No, it's not that it might happen. It will happen. Probably happen when we get off this podcast, right? Won't take long. So the worst thing we could do is beat yourself up, right? If you're on a diet and you have a Snickers bar, you don't go, oh, well, blew it all. Let me get off the diet, because that's what some people do.
Correct.
You go, okay, slipped up. Let me get back on the horse. So you have to do that. And then know for other people, especially because right now, number one, right now the world is just wild, right? Especially anything in the U.S., high intensity, high emotions, everything's a trigger, and the goalpost moves quickly.
Very.
So people make mistakes. Don't assume that every mistake is this mortal wound and bad intent. You know what? I said he and him and she and her for 50 years. So yeah, it may take me a minute to get they. But I tell people, yo, I'm trying to switch, but just understand, right? This is years of programming. It's going to have, you know, it takes a moment, but that does not mean I'm not trying.
Exactly.
So giving each other that type of grace is really critical. I think if we do those three things, if we, because we don't need too much to get overwhelmed, but those three things will make a massive difference.
Absolutely. And I was going to bring this point up, and you brought it up for beginning. An individual's culture. And when I say culture, I'm not just talking about an ethnicity. Guys, let me help you out. Think bigger. I'm not talking about ethnicity. I could care less what your ethnicity is. Your culture is what you feed from. Your culture is what feeds you. It could be your group of friends. You have a certain set of friends. You guys have a culture. You guys can say something and everybody can laugh at it because you know what the joke's about. It's a culture. You know, you go to work, everybody laughs because it's like one of the main things companies look for now is they want to know, can you fit within our culture? And they all try to establish a culture. Companies spend millions of dollars trying to establish a good culture. So when I say culture,
and they do a horrible job.
A terrible job. Terrible.
They do a horrible job at it. Terrible. Terrible. They can save some money. Terrible.
And I'm not talking about ethnicity. I'm talking about the culture, right? The culture we grow up in, or that we feed, or that feed us. The culture that feeds us. It could be social media. Wherever you get that feeding from, our culture plays a huge part in programming our unconscious bias. It plays a huge part in programming our unconscious bias, and it plays a huge part in unseating it. You mentioned earlier, Tony, you said you can go around certain friends, tell them you're going to do something, they're going to ask you why. You go around other set of friends, and they ask you, oh, why haven't you already done it, man? What help do you need? And so that same culture, cultures can help seat those unconscious bias, and certain cultures can also unseat those unconscious bias. So it plays a huge part. Tony, I could talk to you all day, but I better not. Guys, Tony Chapman, I'm so glad you were able to join us today, man. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being with us. Don't go nowhere just yet, Tony. I got to say something to everybody here. Hold one second, guys. Tony, I'm so glad you've been here, man. Listen, guys, here's what I'm going to say is this. Sometimes the hardest biases to confront are the ones that we do not see. Pulling back the curtain on unconscious biases, guys, pulling back those curtain on the unconscious biases may reveal things about ourselves we are uncomfortable or not ready to deal with. Biases we can't see can have a bigger impact than the ones that we can. Why do we favor a particular thing or overlook another? Whatever the reason, it may just begin with taking it head on and finding ways to do better. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Guys, you can stream in right here each week, every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 p.m. Eastern to listen to the show. Or you can tune in on your favorite streaming platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Pandora, and so many more. Guys, I got to get out of here. But as always, in parting, if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I got to go. Peace.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.